Hello and welcome to the call today. Sorry, I'm a little bit late. It is a I was vacuuming. I work from home, so I was getting a little house cleaning done, and I suddenly looked up at the clock and said, oh my gosh, I need to be on the call. So I apologize for that. It's one of the conundrums that happens of trying to have your life move from place to place while you're working from home. Anyways, if you hit one on your keypad, we've got a few callers today. I would love to help coach with you. And a little chagrined, to be honest, that I got a little overzealous in my vacuuming time. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Hi. But my house is now vacuumed. I did that in between my revitalized call and this call, so I apologize for being
late.
Wow.
That's amazing. We're not late. We're right on time.
Okay, good. Yay. So, hi, what can I help you with?
Well, okay, so I'm still working on resistance. I think it's resistance. I don't know. Maybe it's communication with my husband. So I have a silly little example, almost kind of embarrassing, but I think if you can coach me through this, I think it might help me with other things, bigger things.
Yeah.
So I'm like all about the environment and whatever. And my husband, I find that he will come home and he will wash the clothes he's wearing, like his work clothes, so he can wear them the next day. And I said to him, hey, you know, don't you have more outfits? Or isn't that a hassle? Like, I don't know. Last night I thought, you know, maybe because I think about it's a waste of water. It's just not efficient. And I thought, am I just resisting? I mean, should I just try to be allowing him to, you know, do what he wants? And then I was thinking, well, maybe there's a way to have a conversation about it that's not controlling and not, you know, that's opening.
Well, the whole thing is, so, by the way, ditto, got that going on in my marriage. So just so you know, and here's the thing that's been really interesting, because I've been looking at that a lot myself over the past 10 years even. One of the things that grates on my nerves, just to give you a insight, like literally chalkboard feeling, which I don't have the chalkboard feeling, but I kind of can relate to it because I was raised in Southern California in the 70s during the drought, and the sound of running water that's not being used, of clean water running down a drain, grates on my nerves so hardcore, it is a big deal, right? So I get it. And my in-laws, God bless them, love them to death, will literally turn the sink on and mop the floor while the sink's running.
That would drive me crazy.
Seriously crazy. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is the entire time, all of my thoughts about it are closing. The reason why it's grating on my nerves is because the thing that I'm thinking about it is closing. It took me a long time to get that. It actually took me a very long time to make that connection because it is such a real, visceral value of mine to use the Earth's resources, but it doesn't mean that what they're doing is wrong. And there's a way in which the natural flow of abundance, and I this is going to sound really counterintuitive and really crazy, but the natural flow of abundance is we have everything we need always. And my judgment of the way they do things closed me. Now, what I have learned is I opened at, I have to leave the room. I'm a product of the California drought. The water running, like you're doing it with clean water running down the drain, is so hard for me to be in the room with. I got to go. And you have every right in the world to be running your kitchen the way you run it. But I got to go because I'm insane right now. And what ended up happening in my in-laws' life is with me not being anything other than I'm a product of the drought, clean water running down the drain crazes me. But you are okay. I receive it. You guys do your thing. But I got to go to another part of the house. My in-laws actually have stopped doing that.
Wow.
There was no fight. There was no judgment. There was no weirdness. There was just like, oh, my God, it's just such a valuable resource. It's so hard for me. But I totally respect, like, that's the way you do things. And they were like, you're right. It's a habit that I've had from my mom. It's a habit I've had for years, and I just, you're right, I need to shut the water off. I don't even hear it. And that was the thing, like, there was a period of time in my life when I ran the water while I was brushing my teeth, because that's what everybody did. And then my mom taught me that is not okay. Like, water is precious. Like, my mom was a big water person. And now I am, too, because of my mom. Water is precious. Now, here's the thing. He may not want to wear any other clothing. And it may be really important for him and his beingness and his body to start his day every day clean.
Well, that's true.
And so here's the thing. Is like, it closes you. Otherwise, it wouldn't irritate you. Irritation is closing.
Mm-hmm.
The way you're thinking about his process is closing.
I agree.
Okay, so there may be something really important in him wearing the same clothing that's important to him. Now, what I've done, because my husband is similar, which is really great. Our husbands, I mean, it's been this way the whole entire time we've been coaching and in each other's lives, right? Our husbands are similar. My husband has a very fixed wardrobe, and so there is a setting, and I don't know about your washer and dryer or whatever, but on ours, we have a quick wash. Your husband does a lot of construction, so he may not be able to do a quick wash. But here's the thing. If he washes his clothes every day, it is not going to make a dent in the global impact that you two are having. And the global impact that it has on your marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is huge. I have a current thing that I'm really frustrated with my husband with in our marriage, which is we have a faucet where you can have the nozzle on spray or you can have the nozzle on stream in our kitchen sink. And when the nozzle is on spray, when I turn it on, it gets my clothing wet. And I turn that damn faucet on, and it sprays my clothing so many times. And I've expressed it to him, and he has said, I am so sorry, I just forget to turn it back to the stream nozzle. And on the flip side, I turn the nozzle on without checking to put it on the stream.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I can grab the nozzle and push the button down, and I am not irritated anymore. So the question is, why does he have to create something new in his life, meaning my husband used the nozzle, which means he either did the dishes, washed something, did something that I love.
Did something good, right.
And yet when I turn the sink back on, I don't see any of that. I'm just pissed. So I have made it a habit of mine to put the nozzle back where I like it. Now, I'm not giving you this as like, I don't want you to change your value system. I don't want you to create something new. But if you could look at all the things your husband is doing in that clothing for your future.
Right.
all the ways in which he's not like doing silly things. And if the one thing that he does that creates, because he doesn't spend a lot of money, does he?
No.
So if the one thing that he wants in his life is to have the clothes that he feels comfortable remodeling houses in clean for the next day, and he's doing his own laundry, just be happy that
yeah.
he is not a smelly mofo coming home and wearing the same clothes for 6 weeks straight, and that there's very little money that he spends on anything else in his life, and this is the one thing that he spends money in, is like washing his clothes.
Yeah.
And it's important to him, and it means that he works his butt off all day for your future. Do you feel the difference in the energy?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. He may not want to wear any other clothes. It may never change. He may always just want to wash his clothes and have those special, uncomfortable, this is what I do my best work in clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or once you've gotten to a place of being in gratitude, loving that he's a clean person who doesn't stink, loving that he's going to work every day and doing something amazing with his time that actually benefits you as well. From that place of gratitude and alliance, it may naturally change. Or it just may be his one luxury moment.
Yeah. And I just need to get there. And well, that's...
We all have our luxury moment. We have things that we do that aren't necessarily, like, understandable to anyone else. And his one luxury moment. My husband takes often 2 showers a day. Thank God I have great. This used to really bother me.
So does mine.
Now we live in a place that has a gray water system, so he's watering my flowers, so it makes it so much easier. But he takes a shower before he goes to work out, and it used to drive me crazy. You're just going to sweat. But he likes to leave the house showered. It's part of how he wakes up. And then he comes home from working out, and he
takes another shower.
But he doesn't. He's like, I don't want my man sweat on our couches and things.
Yeah, no, I understand.
So luckily, I've got gray water system, but it's a value system that I actually honor. I really like a man who wants to be clean.
Yeah.
Believe me, there are a lot of women that I've counseled and worked with whose men are not that clean. The fact that he doesn't wear the same work clothes for 7 days straight is really good.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
And
so,
the thing
yeah.
is, he's literally not walking around the kitchen for 30 minutes. Literally, my in-laws used to walk around the kitchen with the water running on full blast. Hot water. So double environmental. Mopping the floor, cleaning cabinet. I mean, literally, swear to God, it was like the background noise they needed to clean.
Wow. That's why they invented buckets.
Well, you know, it's what we are all into based on the fact that, you know, like I said, it was really hard for me to stop having the water running when I was brushing my teeth when I was a little kid. I remember I was like 7 years old and we were in a drought and my mom was like, you can't just run the water anymore. And it was like this weird thing because the sound was a part of my experience as a little kid. The sound of the water running was a part of brushing my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big thing to change that. I remember it at 7 being a big thing, like remembering to turn it off and then being uncomfortable with the newness of not having that sound while I brush my teeth. I mean, I know that sounds weird, but it was the truth. For your husband to go to work in dirty clothes or to change his clothing with what he knows is what he works in, like it's his uniform, may be so challenging for him that it's not something he can do for you.
Yeah, right.
So look at the things that are good about it.
No, it's good. I mean, I think it's changed my perspective and accept it. Because that's what I mean. It's not really a big thing.
But here's the other thing. your thoughts about the environmental impacts of it were closing
mm-hmm.
you too.
Yeah.
And I think this is something that is really profound. In dealing with the larger issues in life, of things like environmental sustainability and things, what I have found is that a lot of the way that my culture has trained me to think about our abundance and our sustainability, those thoughts close me. We are abundant. And there are certain areas of the planet where it is really important and it would open you, and I've had that experience where it opens you to reuse water and do things, but there's also areas of the planet where that is not going to make an impact on the planet issues that we're having. The planet issues that we're having are so much larger than somebody washing their clothing. Even on a large scale, if we got everyone only washing twice a week, it would not make a difference to the amount of water that's being used for things like cattle or things like cooling down nuclear reactors.
Yeah. The industrial uses.
Right. So the environmental appreciation that you have doesn't apply in the area that you're talking about, and it does apply as a passion towards other areas. And being able to use your IGS to discern what are, and I don't like to use like pick your battle thing because I don't want about the war, but what is impactful and what isn't impactful. Using grocery bags, everybody in the country using grocery bags is very impactful. Limiting paper and plastic bags and everyone choosing to actually use their own reusable grocery bag actually makes a difference if we do it globally or even as the United States. It actually makes a difference. Your husband's laundry, the amount of water that's actually being used, is not impactful enough to hurt your marriage or his production level.
Right.
Living his passion and his purpose.
Well, that's good. That's good. I appreciate that. Yeah.
So the next time, just be grateful. When you see him throwing that load in the wash, be grateful he doesn't stink when he comes to bed and that his clothes are clean and that he feels really good going to work in the morning.
And he's doing his own laundry.
And he's doing his own laundry, for God's sakes.
Yeah, he is a clean guy. He's a very clean guy.
You need to really appreciate that.
I do.
I've been with guys, I swear to God, been with guys, dated for 3 years, who I could pull out a shirt, smell it, and go, I
Ooh.
Know where you wore this last. I mean, seriously, he doesn't wash his clothes because the guy that I was dating was afraid that his mother taught him that washing clothing destroys them. And I agree. His wardrobe that he's had for 20 years is perfect. And it's a great wardrobe, but he wears cologne. And, yeah. Not so bad. He smells good. But I'm just saying, you know, come on. There are worse things you could be dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah. No, things to be, yeah. And it's just changed my perspective. Focus on the good things. Be grateful.
And
yeah,
honestly, his nightly, if you looked at it, it's like 2 gallons of water. It's not. If you want to coach him, and you can't because it's dirty clothes. You just let him do his thing. My husband, he wears his clothes and he never gets dirty, so I've coached him on the quick wash, and he's using the quick wash and the quick dry, and it's way shorter, and he's totally happy because he just wants it done faster. He does his own laundry too. But your husband, he's doing construction stuff, so I can't say do the quick wash thing. He needs to wash his clothes. He's dirty.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. Sometimes he'll take less now, but he would take a shower in the morning and a shower in the evening. Now he doesn't take a shower in the morning because he's going to get dirty at work. So, but I can totally. I was laughing when you're saying that because I'm like, oh yeah, for years he would take 2 showers.
Oh, I just said to him like 4 days ago, really? You really need to go take a shower before you're going to go work out right now? But I really got that it was his way of starting his day. Like, it's like what I got when I checked in with my IGS was I was like, what is up with this? He's just going to go get sweaty. I should change this, closed. It's actually how he wakes up. He wakes, and it's like wiping the cobwebs away from his face. It's how he wakes up, open. So it's a ritual. It has nothing to do with cleanliness or anything else, and we are all allowed our passions and our rituals.
Yeah, and I like the luxury, like, you know, everybody has their little luxury. I like how you said that. That's cool. So it's, for me, I don't, this is like a big, the receiving, allowing, resistance piece is a big thing for me. I'm finding, you know, I'm listening to the others, but this seems to be what I'm working on. You know what I mean? It seems to be what is kind of my attention.
It is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, like, we are taught you like or you don't like. There's no gray area.
The judgment.
You like, and the thing is it's like in every moment, based on the situation you're in, it can change. And so the resistance piece is like, well, there's two pieces, like resistance to the external environments around you. It could be heat. I was in northern Africa. It was flies, you know, and trying to figure out how to make that work. And, like, there's massive extremes to the receiving moment. But the biggest thing is in this course for normal, what we are normally going through as people, when you think about somebody resisting you, especially if you're being heartfelt and authentic, and they're resisting you because they just can't receive, even if they don't agree or they can't be with it, think about, you know, like, I just need you to get and receive that this is my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And how amazing it would feel if everyone on the planet was just receiving the fact that you exist and have a different perspective. Even if they can't get it, like, I'm receiving that you feel this way and it's different from me, versus, no, shut up, stop it, don't be that way, don't think that way, you should do this, you should do that, right? Like, the whole thing is a... on both sides of the coin. And so if you can see your receiving as a gift, the negative receiving, you receiving something that you see unpleasant as a gift that you're giving to the other person.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just gonna get you. Even if I don't get you, I'm just going to be with the fact that you are different. Or I'm just going to be with the fact that you don't see the things that I see in the same way I do. Or I'm just going to be with that I don't get why you're angry, but I'm okay with the fact that you feel anger right now, or disappointment, or sadness, or sometimes it can be actually, let's say we've got a person in our lives that we love and they're really excited about a relationship and they're telling us how great it is and we've met them and we're like, that guy's not so great or that girl's not so great, and we're just receiving like, whew, warning bells, I am totally aware that you are so psyched and happy right now about this person, and let them just get it out, like the resistance. Just be with the person. Magic happens. It's crazy. But then, like, 4 seconds later, the friend's like, I don't know. He also has this, this, and this. It's not okay. What do you think? Well, I kind of saw that. Yeah, it's something you should be aware of. I would pay attention to that. Like, the receptivity creates communication and joy and love and place where you meet, like, yeah, but if you just meet in the, yeah, what you're going through mm-hmm. sucks. And if you pay any attention at all to my coaching as a teacher, I wholeheartedly, with my full physical body, meet every student where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And then the opening happens to create whatever is new. So it will be interesting to find out if when you embrace and get excited about him putting his clothes in the laundry, see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
As an experiment.
I will, yeah, I'm going to do that. You know, like in my head, I'm going to get excited about it and be grateful that he's clean. And
yes, doing his own laundry, doing all the work he's doing in those clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see what happens. And also know that your clothes, you also have clothing around water in your area and environmental stuff in your area. Environmental stuff is actually territorial centric. It actually doesn't hurt to expend water in certain areas. It actually helps the sewage systems and all kinds of stuff. It's like crazy. If everybody stopped, we'd have a whole other problem if everybody stopped doing as much laundry and flushing toilets and things for some areas, because the sewage system is actually geared to have that happen.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, things that get sluggish. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Uh-huh. I'm like, serious, like, you'd be surprised. Like, we try to fix things on the planet, everybody cuts back, and then all of a sudden they're like, the sewages are clogged and blah, blah, blah. Flush your toilets, people, you know, because it's just where we are. So, you know, if you got a closing around the environmental aspects of it, you can let it go and just trust. And then look for other areas where it's important for you to put that concern, that open you.
Mm-hmm.
I always love what you bring to the call. Thank you so much, Christine.
Oh, thanks, Ben.
Yeah, I love it. I especially love you bring great big stuff, and then you bring little tiny stuff, and all of it is going to help a lot of different people. Every time they listen to the call, it rocks.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks. I'm really getting a lot out of this course, and I'm going slowly, and like on this module, I'm just kind of stuck here, but it doesn't feel stuck. It feels like I'm just got a lot to, work on here. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a big module. So just stay with it as long as it feels good to you. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. All right. Darla has got her hand raised, so I'm going to jump in there. But
okay.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You.
Hold on, Darla. My internet is slow.
Oh,
Darla, hi.
I'm sure glad you're feeling better.
Oh, me too. That was really hardcore, honestly. Yeah, we're talking major coughing. It was.
Glad you're back. That's rough.
Yeah. Hi. What's up?
Hi. So I took some of your advice, and I went into that other room, and I put on books on tape. I put on CDs, and it's finally presentable for company. Now, that doesn't mean I began my purging yet.
Okay. Hold on.
Okay.
I need to say this. I have no idea what you're talking about. So refresh
okay.
my memory.
We talked about, that's where I've been stuck, is in the part where I need to clean out an area, clean the space, get rid of things.
Of your home?
Yes.
Okay.
So I've been in this room, and it was a disaster, and we actually have company coming, I think next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clean. It's ready for them. It isn't
good.
Ready, like it isn't done in terms of me going in and doing the purging I need to do, because I just didn't have the time to sit and do that. But it's done for now, and it'll get really done after our company is gone.
Good.
So, whew, that's been major.
Good. I am really big on an external event. My husband, I'll be like, we're having people over. We're going to have four people camp on our property. And then he'll be like, no, we're not ready. And I'm like, if we have four people coming in 2 months, we will be. And he freaks out, and then it's all done. So I love that external pressure.
Yeah, it works. So anyway, with that, I've just been spending a lot of time grounding and making lists of things that I know have to get done, either for work or for my personal life. And there's been such a flow with that because I'll let my IGS decide what I'm doing. And I can't remember what I was doing recently, but I was arguing with my IGS because I really wanted to buy a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
And my IGS
kept telling me.
And so I went with it, and I'm thinking, okay, but I think I need it. Okay, so that aside, work. Many people have been denied going to workshops, provincial workshops. And I decided there was one that I really wanted to apply for. And the thing is, it would give me a chance to also spend a couple of nights with Adia. And I wanted to, anyway, with my daughter.
Oh, okay, good clarification.
I did get an okay on it, but it was such an interesting process. I think I had four meetings about it, which is just, I've never had. And I just completely let the whole process go. And I was told, well, is it this, is it that? Is it going to work out? Is this going to happen? And then I'd hear, I have to meet with somebody else about it. And there were two external meetings other than my four meetings about it.
About
and
going
then
I just want to be clear. You got an
open. Yeah, I'm going on this workshop. And I was given
opening.
A yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You were given, no, there's no yes. It's only opening.
No, I mean, they actually told me yes, I could go.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. Good. So it's not your IGS that you said yes, because I want to really clarify. It's really important to not go with a yes. But yes, they gave you a yes, and then they are putting you through this process even though you opened. I just want to be clear. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Keep going.
So that's where I'm at.
They haven't actually, it's not been approved, or it has been approved? I'm a little confused.
It has been approved. They said I can go.
Good.
And one of the funny things about it is I had asked if I could take a personal leave day on the other end just to give me a Sunday there. And I was told yes, but then I got a call this Sunday and said, you don't have a personal leave day. And I remembered, oh my gosh, I used it last fall. So I asked if for another option, and I was told yes, I could do it. So I just feel like I'm getting yeses everywhere.
Beautiful.
And just wanted to share that.
I'm just feeling into you. Darla, so my thing is, you're done spirit-led, and you're in this program, and I'm feeling such a, what is your experience now? I mean, I'm feeling as I check into you, this divine, centered mother energy. Is that your, and I'm not wanting to lead you or anything, but is that what you're not every moment of every day, but most of the moments of every day. Is that what you're feeling?
I have to say yes.
Thank you.
It's such an amazing process.
So grateful and so happy that you're there.
I'm so grateful for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, and providing this opportunity for all of us. It's life-changing.
What do you think is the biggest difference? Because I know you're just showing up to check in and be a part of the energy, but like, what do you think is the biggest difference between when you encountered the work and now?
Actually knowing that I am being led has made a huge difference. And like for me to sit and argue and say, well, I don't want a no, I want a yes.
Oh my God, that pisses me off so much. But I have to go with it because it just doesn't work if I don't. I totally get it.
I know, and that's excited. Okay, well, Zen has said this, and I'm going to go with it. I'm not going to do it. I'll continue on the journey. And I'm sure I'm better for it.
Well,
I
appreciate that you even just like went with my giving you it, because most people like knock their head against that wall of I want the answer to be yes, and they go forward for a good 6 to 9 to year, you know, time period. So the fact that you just even gave it, like Zen says don't, I really want to credit you for that, because it knocks a lot of crazy, uncomfortable experiences out of your way.
And probably something that would have been, you know, either ill-fitting and not working properly anyway in my life, which was the huge eye-opener for me.
Yeah.
And I mean,
Carla, thank you. Thank you for
taking on the work.
Thank you for just doing it, man. And Darla, for everybody that's on the call, Darla is, she's doing amazing things in her school system. And there's been a lot of things, if you've been on the calls for the past 2 years, there's been amazing things that this woman has brought into her school system. And taken on that she was like, chess club? What are you talking about? I play chess. And starting things that the kids were just like excited about and brilliant. And
oh, they love the meditation. And thank you for connecting us that way. We love it.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. So grateful that you're doing it. And all I can say is just keep championing it to every other area of Canada. Like, just push it, push it, push it, girl. I really do believe that you have the energy, as long as it opens you. But I think it does. Just you have the energy inside of your beingness to have every child in Canada meditating in school. I really do.
And I'm glad you said that, because it was an opening that you just gave me that I can mention it when I go to the workshop in Toronto.
I think you should champion it. I just see it. I just see you speaking for it all over Canada. And good. I'm excited about every new student in Canada meditating and what that
Me
does
too.
For your nation, what that does for your nation. I love it.
Well, lots all of right. love to you, to everyone.
Love you. Going to go on to Megan. Thank you, Darla. And everybody else who wants to participate, hit 1 on your keypad. And Megan, hey, Megan, hold on. You do not, there, you have the mic. Hi, Megan.
I'm in a tunnel. It'll be over in a second, but if it's loud, it'll be done, I promise, momentarily.
No problem.
Quickly for Darla, I'm sure you have research, but if not, there's a lot of research done in California on the benefits of meditation in schools. And you might want to check out a website called Mindful Schools. I don't know, that's probably .org, I'm guessing. But they have a lot of research there that could probably support your case. So, California has been on the cutting edge in the United States around meditation. So, if you
that's
don't have
awesome.
Already.
And I just hooked up with a teacher in Chicago who's working in college in high schools, and they're doing meditation stuff too. Not that they're cutting edge like California, of course, because California rocks. No offense to everybody else, but but I do want to say that, like, in the inner city schools of Chicago, they're doing daily, twice a day, meditation. So we,
yeah,
this is the stuff
really
that doesn't get
off,
recorded. And this is the stuff that's, like, super sexy and super important that we are not talking about in the news.
Well, it's the work that I'm trying to build, which is how to infuse this mindfulness for adults that work in school settings. And there's a little bit more research on that, too. But, I mean, just it's
well,
just
and
starting,
I think
but it's
part
more
of the
anybody.
Thing is supporting adults. Like, we
yep.
need to support the teachers in the same thing. I mean, we can't just shove something down a teacher's throat and then expect them to receive it. And just for everybody on the call, like, when we're talking about mindfulness practices or meditation, what we're really talking about is the listening practice, feeling your feet, feeling your hands,
yep.
dropping
yep.
in, listening to around you, being present with your body. There's no difference between that. That is what is being taught in schools in
yep.
whatever form it is. So what we're doing here on these calls in order to connect with our internal guidance system is the exact same thing that we're talking about being brought into schools to every student. It's just giving a moment for them to feel their bodies and see what's really happening there.
Yeah, totally. No, that's right. And it's exciting. I think people are opening up. So anyway, happy to connect you with Research Darla if you need it. Send
do you have anything
to find me.
You need some support on or coaching on today?
Yes, I do. Sorry. Well, so this is what I'm noticing, and I'm wondering how using my IGIs can help. So I'm definitely learning so much about my habitual patterns and everything else and how IGS is playing into that or how it's giving me a clue. But what I'm struggling, well, I don't know if it's just a stubborn mind or yet again in a habitual pattern. And what happens with me is I'll get myself, feel like I'm overextended, and then I'll get frustrated, and then I'll be snappy with somebody, usually.
Yeah.
You know, feel a little bit short. And then I'll feel really guilty and really build up this whole story about, you know, I'm a bad person and all that kind of stuff. So
oh,
you know,
I so
I'm in
got
that
it.
Now.
Yep, nope, got
yeah,
it.
I'm in that space.
In it.
And
in it, done it, being
totally.
It with my 3-year-old, just FYI.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, being a mom, it's like an opportunity every day to feel like that. Right, so you
Ooh.
Get pushed, and so I get pushed past my limit, and then I get frustrated, and then I get stuck in, okay, I know it's a pattern for me to kind of snap, and, you know, it's not like snap, like go crazy, but snap, like be snappy. And it's then also my pattern to be hard on myself. And so right now, as I'm even talking about it, you know, I feel a tightening in my chest. And so I tell myself, okay, well, that's my internal guidance system
no.
telling me that the thoughts that I'm thinking.
Stop.
What's wrong?
Stop.
Okay. Stopping.
Take a breath.
Stop.
Okay, so first of all, it's the most fascinating thing in the world to be in a perfect universe. And I understand that maybe not everybody in the call, but I imagine that you do or are open to what I'm about to say because you're here in this call. But what I have found is that we live in a perfect universe. And the hardest thing for me, especially with this golden, amazing child, as well as whoever you're snapping at, is that we all chose to be in relationship together.
Right.
So the person you're snapping at is the person you're supposed to be snapping at. And there are people you could snap at who would not be so great. They're not your perfect snapper person. And so the guilt that comes after this, so there's the snapping, and then there's the guilt that comes after the snapping, and the closing about your snapping, and the closing is about, no, it's perfect. So how it shows up for me with my son is long day, whiny child, ridiculously doesn't want to wash his hands, and we have to wash our hands from daycare because daycare is disgusting. And the whole battle that goes from the time he walks in the house, and just an example of snapping, and me yelling, "Stop it! We are washing your hands!" Of course, it was a little bit louder and a little more emphatic. And him looking at me and me forcing him to wash his hands because we have to wash his hands. And I'm open that we have to wash his hands because I've been sick for a week and I get that literally there's stuff coming in the house. And then sitting him down and being like, "I just snapped at you." And it was the right thing. And I want to head off this experience in the future. The rule is when you come in the house, you have to wash your hands. Now, I know this sounds mundane and easy with me dealing with a three-year-old, but I would love to say you snapping is not a bad thing. Being human is really important. Being authentic is really important. Now, I'm not saying run willy-nilly over your, you know, there's a whole different thing around neuroses and you know, people being totally selfish, but you going like, "Oh my God, I just snapped. So sorry. Didn't mean to snap at you. And this is something that's pushing my button." And then at that point, the key is, like, this is a button I have that I really should work on. Or, holy shit, how do we put a process in place so this doesn't happen again? And
there's
only
two
options. So give me your example.
Well, the example is, you know, so the habitual pattern maybe is a more useful example is I put myself in situations I don't want to be in. So I'm overextending myself just by being there. So there's a lot of energy and effort that's being put in to maintain some level of calm or collaboration because I'm somewhere I don't want to be. And so I'm on these weekly calls because I'm doing this coaching program. And the two people on the calls are just, you know, two of them are just very self-centered and kind of irritating. And one of them basically kind of shut me down. I mean, they're very, like, they dominate the entire call and blah. So I basically just sit on the call most of the time and bide my time. But it takes me a lot of effort to get to that call in the first place. I have to be on the call.
All right.
I decided I was going to sit there.
Open it.
Yeah.
My turn. So totally get it. So number one of the biggest things that we do as human beings is we is this any of my business? Should I do this? Using your IGS. If it opens you, you're supposed to be there. So if it opens you to be on these pain-in-the-ass calls, you need to be there, even if they irritate you and even if it's difficult. Your shit is up, and it's really important for you to go through it. But if you actually check in about whether you should be on these calls at all, and it closes you, and it's really honest, you have to really drop into your listening, and you'll know. And the way that you know is, like, if you try to ditch the call, you'll be closed. Like, you'll be closed. The whole time you're talking yourself out of the call, you'll be closed. If the whole time that you're talking yourself out of the call, you're open, you actually aren't supposed to be on this call, and you're pushing yourself into something that is a should that's not important. Now, your mind may tell you, "I really need to be there."
Yep.
And this is really, really crucial for people who are dealing with stuff that's, like, work-related. Like, I have to be on this call. They expect me to be on the call. But if you say, "Is it any of my business to be on the call?" and you close, that means your participation doesn't mean anything. So just show up and shut up.
Yeah.
And if you have an opening to say something, do. But otherwise, stop letting yourself get worked up in all the closing thoughts you have about how this is a waste of your time and you shouldn't be here and they're this person and they're that person and they're overwhelming and they're doing this and they're, get rid of all that and be like, my job is just to show up on the call and say yes. And if that opens you, I'm serious. If it opens you to be laissez-faire, just lazy, 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 it's perfectly okay. There are lots of ways in which, but if it closes you to be on the call, back out. It is actually a waste of your time, and it's not helping them in any way, shape, or form. And
yeah.
I don't know on a professional level, and oftentimes what I've found with people on a professional level is they'll be called to show up on a call, and nobody will miss their interaction. They'll just be like, but there's other times when we've created experiences where we think we need something, a certificate or a degree or a this or a that, and our IGS is leading us elsewhere. And we actually shouldn't be on those calls. They're actually degrading our energy. They're actually moving us out of our alignment. They're not helpful.
Yeah.
And there's a period of time in this work where you are unraveling stuff that you already agreed to from your mental capacity of I should, I need to, I have to, I must, which is those things, like pushing them through. And they're not anything that's a part, like you really can get rid of the friend. You can get really, really get rid of the course. You can get rid of the mastermind. You can get rid of the group, the girlfriend group or whatever, that is really important for you. If it's draining your energy and closing you, you've got to check your own thoughts and be responsible. You're not just being a judgmental idiot who's, you know whether or not you're closing because of everything they say and actually there's some stuff there that's good for you and you're resistant to. You know that, Megan. You're really fucking smart.
No, yeah, they're genuinely irritating, and the calls I have to be on. I think what was that's a good point, though, in that I didn't even as often I don't ever even question, like, okay, I'm required to do this as part of this thing, so I'm going to jump on the calls. And mostly I've been quiet. I got triggered because they wanted to change the meeting time. And, you know, they were really pressing the issue. So the good thing that happened is that actually I decided to stop being on the calls with those people that were here. So the good thing that came out of the frustration is I chose to just be in a different group, which I think will be better. And it gave me this, again, this insight on, right, yet another place where this pattern is showing up. So I have a lot of gratitude for, like, right, okay, here's the pattern yet again, and here's the related behavior that comes out of that. I'm in a position where I'm feeling.
Tell me the pattern.
The pattern is I'm forcing myself. I mean, I do it. These are my marriages, like jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I pick stuff that's not in alignment, maybe, so it's not a part of my path. It's closing me in some way, but I force myself to be there anyway. And the effort of forcing myself to be in a relationship or in a role or in a, you know, meeting that I don't want to be expends so much of my energy that what's left is I don't have a lot of energy for the niceties, and that's when I will do the acting out, the snapping,
so,
or the being a less kind than I would normally be. That's a pattern.
So I love how much you know about yourself. I'm going to question a little bit of it. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
So when you are in not being in nicety, what you're thinking about the group and the people in the group is closing, which means what you're thinking is not true. This is brutal.
Say that again.
I'm giving you something. Yeah, I'm giving you something brutal.
Excellent. I like brutal. Let's do it. But I don't understand
this. This is brutal.
Though.
This is brutal.
Okay.
And I'm right here with you, sister, and I love you.
So
when you are irritated at the niceties or the showing up or the putting up with what you're thinking about these people, what you're thinking about showing up, is closing, which means what you're thinking is not true.
Okay. So, can we put it up for example?
Yeah, I'm up for an example. Go.
So if we're take it to my call the other day, I have been resentful about one person in particular from the first call because he made an offhanded, I worked really hard to create a website, and he made an offhanded comment because it's a .co instead of a .com, and he was basically like totally trashed it. Like, oh, well, that's just stupid and no one's going to go there and you're going to ruin your whole career. Kind of, that's what he said. So I got pissed. And pretty much he's been a write-off for me ever since then, and yet I have to be on these calls with him, and he's also kind of irritating in other ways. Are you saying that me being angry at him is, and therefore I don't feel like I need to be nice to him? Because I feel like it's just related to judgment. I'm judging him at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been my assumption, is that I'm judging
okay, so
him.
Stop for a second.
Okay.
You're a rock star.
Okay.
At this work. As your coach.
I feel like I am. Okay.
No, as your coach, I'm telling you. You're at rock star level one. Like,
okay.
There's other people like Christine is at rock star level five. Like, right, but you're at rock star level one. You are at rock star.
Miami.
You are getting it.
Okay.
You immediately closed at his feedback around the co.
Mm-hmm.
And it closed you. What if he was right?
It would have opened me.
And
so rather than...
Yeah, what comes from that?
Well, I just think it's such a different way of experiencing your emotions then. So,
No. We are reconfiguring your entire brain. We are reconfiguring your entire brain. This work is reconfiguring your entire brain.
Yeah, it totally is. It's so interesting, right?
We're doing it on the sly, but that's the only way we can reconfigure our brains. Totally, honestly, swear to God, I've been working at it for 23 years. We can't do it any other way. So here's the thing. Now, here's the cool thing. Okay, so first of all, I'm so feeling your openness around the co-com thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to just take a moment. Yeah, so you're so open. I don't even know what to – let's just give a moment to just sit with that. Now, here's
that's
the thing. There's
okay.
So many ways around that. There's so many ways around that. Once you're open, website stays the same. You just do a bunch of URL redirects for campaigns. You got that?
Right. Yep.
Website doesn't have to change, but he's absolutely right. It's a little bit hard. People won't get it. It is hard for your market,
yep.
Education market,
right.
And everything. Now, he's trying to help you not being an asshole. I want you to think about some of the other conversations that you've had with him. Were they helpful or was he an asshole? Is he really trying to be helpful?
I think in his heart he's trying to be helpful. I think he's, a little arrogant. That's my judgment.
He's arrogant, and I just want you to check something for yourself. Were you arrogant too? When you think about, no, check it, just really check. I just want you to be solid in, was I arrogant too? Do you open?
In that situation, I shut down, so I didn't even get arrogant. I think
I
was more like,
I don't
want
to go. I know I get all that.
Oh,
I want you to listen. Listen, stop. Listen,
yes,
I had a black leader who I was coaching tell me I was racist, and when I went, I am not, I closed. And when I went, I'm racist, I opened.
Yeah. No, it's true.
And
I
live in Oakland. I lived in Oakland. Yeah, so I just want to get for just a minute – could your arrogance have met his arrogance? Arrogance is a normal human attribute. It is not a fault. It is not a fault.
No, I'm sure I was. I mean, I just wrote him off, so that would be being arrogant. Yes, I didn't listen at all. I mean, I did actually. I was like, well, let me go and see if I can find the comm, but it's just always been too expensive. So, I did think. I mean, I heard his advice and I listened to it. I didn't like the delivery, and that got my ego all triggered. I didn't like how he said it because he hadn't looked at it. He did, you know. My whole thing was like he could have said it nicer. I can take any feedback if it's said nicely.
So here's the thing.
Wasn't said nicely.
Here's the thing. If you're triggered by feedback, so this is more the spirit-led program, like conversation, just so you know. But if you're triggered, meaning you have a response of closing against someone else, here's the cool thing about it that you can use. I'm doing this to myself or someone else right now. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling triggered, it's a mirror. You're either doing it to yourself or someone else right now. And so he probably was writing you off, and you wrote him off too.
Yep. That's
but here's true. The thing. So here's the cool thing. As lovely as it is to play with all of these real-life scenarios that we're talking about, the cool thing is that you are moving up on the spiritual level, have a new awareness of, like, shit, I opened at him being right about the .co thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did all this work, and I didn't want any opposition, and I dropped into, fuck you. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. And he could have been the best ally you ever had. And the cool thing is that you are amazing as a human being to even witness any of this at all. Do you get that? The fact
I'm
that you and I are having this conversation... The fact that you and I are having this conversation is so powerful, and it's being witnessed by other people who are sitting there going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, that's me. The fact that you exist and are having this conversation is so important. And so here's the thing. It's like when you're in these meetings, it's like, this is the whole crux of the thing is, like, I'm in these meetings and I'm irritated and there's all this stuff going. Irritation is closing. It means what you're thinking about being in these meetings. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be in these meetings. What it means is you got to clear out all of the closing energy and what you're thinking about being in these meetings to become clear about whether you're supposed to be there or not. And if you're not supposed to be there, it will open you and you have no need to be there at all. But you can't get to clearing out this stuff that's irritating you, these meetings you have to be to, these sessions, these all this stuff, unless you show up, look at your thought, get very clear, is this my crap and I'm supposed to be here? Or actually, I've had a bunch of crap going on and I'm not supposed to be here, because they're both true. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for you to go to less meetings in your life.
I would too. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So you can use the closings as an indicator to check in on how you're feeling, and it's an beyond just true fault.
Not how you're feeling.
It's a,
what you're
what
thinking.
I'm thinking. Right. So use
how
the
you're feeling will be different than what you're thinking. Your
right.
thinking is programmed by your parents. I mean, sorry, your feelings are programmed by your parents.
So it's a good indicator. So if I feel a closing, then it's a time to check in on what my thinking is and then to unpack what the thinking, what
yep.
about the thinking is true or not true.
Yes, and it could be a bunch of crap. You're so good. You're doing great. It could be a bunch of crap, and when once you unpack it, you're like, I unpacked all this stuff, which is like, I need to be here. People are judging me if I'm not here. I need to be here for a certification. I got this. I got that. I'm unpacking all this stuff. No, and I'm closed. I open that. This isn't right for me at all. whew, I open. Hey, guys, mm-hmm. I'm backing out of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be you're unpacking all your clothing about all these people, crap, all this stuff. I need to show up on the calls just to know what's going on, open. Damn. But all their personalities don't affect me anymore. And you show up on the calls and you hear what's going on because it's important and you need to, but you don't participate and you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't make a difference. You're like, okay, it's an hour. It's no big deal. And if you can't make it, you're fine. But like you unpacked all your garbage in your head about showing up.
Yeah, right. Yep, perfect. I get it.
Megan?
That makes sense. So
this is
using
awesome.
Them as not yet. Yeah, this is great. Thank you, Zen.
You're awesome.
We're going to talk
you're
more
awesome.
About this tomorrow when we're meeting tomorrow.
Yeah. No, but you're awesome. Well, we only have 15 minutes, so I want to focus on the big stuff. But
okay.
Hold that till the end of our call.
Yes.
There's other stuff we have to make. But you're awesome.
Thank you. You're awesome. I appreciate you. Super helpful. Big light bulb.
Yeah, big love.
Love you too.
Yeah. Feeling big love in my body for you. Big love. Big love.
Yeah. Super grateful.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, muting. All right. There's a bunch of other awesome people on this call. Hit one on your keypad if you want to talk to me. Nancy. Hi, girl.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
So I always keep punching on my one thinking my phone isn't working. So if I do that, just don't worry about it. It's my nervousness.
Okay.
Okay. So I want some support. I'm not sure exactly what it is, so I'll just trust your IGS to figure out what might be the most helpful thing to say to me. So I had just gone through, I feel like, the last 5 weeks, which I've been focusing on your unraveling what comes to you that you don't want, on that one lesson. And I feel like I've just gone into the mixer, the spiritual mixer, and got shot out. And I used that lesson to look at what I was drawing towards myself, not in terms of
okay, are you talking
material.
About lesson 7 about receiving people that you're resisted to?
No, I'm talking about module 8, lesson 1, where you're talking about unraveling, backing up into the manifestation formula.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So I, and it was a confusing lesson for me because it was so much what I needed to figure out. So the way I ended up using it was actually not looking at things that come to me from the world, but parts of myself that I can't seem to access. So, and that are causing me pain or suffering. So as I back into the formula and thought, okay, I want to be able to access this other quality in myself instead of this quality that I've been accessing, which I'm not liking anymore. And as I did that, I feel like I got connected to spirit in a whole different way that is just, I feel like I'm in this grinder, in this mixer right now where a whole years, you know, like 6 years of my making myself into a certain persona are getting kind of just shed left and right. And it's an extremely painful process some of the time, and I'm using my IGS to guide me through it. And two of the things that have come up is that I'm remembering when I was really, really, really young and how I knew something about how I wanted to live my life and the kind of human I wanted to be. And I remember getting angry. I think I got angry at spirit because I felt so desperately alone. And so I shut down. I shut down aspects of me that I am finally reconnecting with, like in the last couple of days, literally. And so there's this deep homesickness, and there's this deep sadness, and there's this deep sadness about how these man-made parts of me didn't function and caused pain for the people that I love deeply. And so, you know, when I look at the guilt or the sadness, and I keep reconnecting, I get an opening about it. The truth is, I get an opening. What?
Are you enjoying this process? Is it deep and rich and fulfilling?
Well, it's two-sided.
Are you feeling more energized and excited and alive?
It's two-sided. Look at this stuff and I reconnect.
Yeah, you
with
already
an
given me the old answer.
Part
Here's
of me.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. So take a deep breath with me and breathe. So for everyone else on the call, I just want to let you know that I've been working with Nancy for 2 years. And I'm going to give her the same conversation that I would give to anyone who had been working with me. There's going to be a little bit more, Nancy, with your permission, very light. There's going to be a little more communication in it, but it's the same conversation I would have with anyone who's having this experience.
I only ask that you don't, if you get a reference, a relationship with somebody, you just really leave it as just
no,
somebody.
No, sweetie, you're
yeah.
all good.
Okay.
You know me.
Okay.
You know me.
Okay.
Right? We're
okay.
all good.
Mm-hmm.
So here's
yeah,
the thing.
But anything else?
Here's the thing. So I'm just going to check in for a moment and do a deep dive before I talk about this with everybody. Nancy, I'm going to have a really in-depth conversation with you and our students, and I think it's really important, and it will be totally respectful. Does that feel comfortable for you?
Yes.
There is a deep part of your soul that's attached to drama. And the attachment is to change happens through turmoil. Big upset, big experience, big conversation, big energy inside myself. Like, I have to be and I have to create a change in the world. And does that feel right for you?
The part that definitely feels right is this feeling that, yeah, that change has to come through grueling work. And but I just want to say something, Zen. Ironically, about 4 weeks ago, I just said to myself, I just acknowledged a place in me that is numb and that is not dropping in and hasn't, as far as I remember back when I made a certain decision as a child. And I said to myself, what is it going to take to wake me up? What is it going to take for me to be willing to wake up?
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. So this is what I want to say. Like, there's this energy of bigness, big, big, big. Like, I've got this big thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Big thing I got to fix. I got this big
right.
thing I need to shift. This thing is up. And I want to say that I disagree.
Hmm.
especially in your big life form. Like, so I want to separate your world of Nancy is can I talk about you a little bit, baby?
About my work, sure.
Well, about, like, you're Jewish and her family.
Oh yeah. Sure.
Her family was in the Holocaust, and there's some things that I've been working with Nancy for over 2 years, and she's got some amazing spiritual cleansing and clearing and extraordinary things happening in her life on that level, which can contribute to some of the conversation we're having now. And there's also, from that heritage, a experience of panic and terror and DNA level experience that comes, actually shows up in her mindset, shows up in her mind, that shifts what she's experiencing. Like, it actually creates a moment of terror and panic for her. And so we've got a dual thing going on. So what we're going to deal with today is kind of that experience. And the big thing that I want to say is, like, Nancy, now can you talk a little bit more about what you're experiencing? Just because mainly I wanted to give that background because you have been doing your IGS work now for like 3 years, and you're amazing. This woman is amazing at using her IGS, and then we're in this, you know, we're having this experience today. So talk a little bit more about it today from this context.
Well, I'm not sure I understand what you mean, but I don't know if I know what you mean by that. I think on a certain level I may have forgotten or didn't know how to bring my IGS. Like, I don't know how to process with my IGS this experience of first homesickness and then this experience of making peace with my choices. Like actually, I get an opening. You know, I really get that everybody in my life has chosen to be in relationship with me, and that in however way my survival strategies have limited what I could give to them, that it fits them perfectly. And I feel myself opening when I say this. I think maybe what it is I'm having difficulty because I'm not sure the world around me reflects that or can see that. And so I'm wondering if, something about that. Like, I know that. But at the same time, I look at what I might have deprived or denied some of my loved ones, had negative impacts on them, and I go into guilt.
Right. So here's the thing. Does the thought of the negative impact open you?
Yes, it actually does.
Okay. And so in that moment where you have an opening about the negative impact, is there something that arises? It literally feels like it arises from within. Is there something that arises to do to solve that?
Well, with one person, there's an awareness of how this person needed something very important for themselves. I think, my mind thinks,
opening. Yeah, opening.
This person did need something, and I didn't give it. And so there are consequences for this person. So I say to myself, well, I don't know what to do with that.
Well, is there
it's
a
like
way
it's different
can,
than
so start with asking, is there a way you can fix that? Does it open you or close
I don't know.
You? No.
Is there a way that I can
drop
fix
into
that?
Your list. Can I resolve that? Opening or closing?
No, closing.
So here's the thing I want to share with you. I'm being silent for a moment. I had a very painful, powerful experience with my brother.
Right. And I know that, Jen, when I think of...
Well, hold on. We were 13 years old. No, this is not what you think. We were 13 years old.
Okay.
He was 12. He was 18 months younger than me. We were in a campfire, and I was totally excited, as I am about everything in life, about this book, The Stand, which was a Stephen King book, which was silly, but it was this book I was excited about. And my brother said, I want to read it. And I said to him, I think it's above your reading level, because my brother had had struggles throughout his life, and I said that. And when my brother was 25, he said to me, this was 11 years later, mm-hmm. You think I'm stupid.
Right.
And I said, what are you talking about? I don't think you're stupid. And he said, no, I couldn't read that book. I'm stupid. It really was hard for me. So I'm not turning this into a thing, but I'm saying there are places where we can't reconcile necessarily. The experiences that we've had with other people. Does that make sense?
Yes, of course it makes sense. And it is the essence, you know, of my pain about one particular person who needed something from me, and I didn't know how to give it, and I actually created challenges for this person, and now I don't know how to resolve my pain and guilt about that, because I'm not in a position to be able to change it. And so I go to this idea of, well, we chose this anyway together. We came into a relationship both wanting this, and so, you know, during the day I say, God, you know, maybe this is his spiritual lesson. Maybe this is what he needed. And then I flip back and forth between that opening and the place that looks at the truth about this, and that I created a huge obstacle for this person in his life. And I don't know how to resolve the pain.
So you closed. So hold on for a second. You closed when you said you created a huge obstacle in this person's life. So...
you're right. I'm getting yes. That's why I'm confused. Yeah.
So here's the thing. So.
Wait. Can I just say something?
Yeah. No.
Because I want to
learn
it myself. Okay. So the first statement is, I did something which left a serious impact for this individual.
Are you open or closed?
Well, this time I'm getting a closing. I don't know if it's because you're on the phone or before. I've been getting an opening. Yes, I created, this person needed something. Yes, opening. I did not give him what he needed. I didn't give him the support he needed, and therefore he's dealing with other things. I get an opening. Then when I say, what can I do to remedy this? And I get a closing. You know, when I say, can I remedy this? I get a closing.
Okay. That's good. Take a deep breath. No, really, take a deep breath, girlfriend. There is a time and a place for everything, and there is not one moment that is like the miracle moment. Relax. Yes, there was probably a moment when you didn't act.
There were many moments when I didn't act over many years.
It doesn't matter. It does matter on your own listening factor, the way in which you're listening and you're able to discern. And I want to let you know, there were many moments in my life in my early 20s before I knew that I was an intuitive, when I was coached and I was, like, there was an energy coming through me. That's what I mean by coaching. to support someone else in information that I had that they needed, and I walked away. I wasn't their only moment. And those moments were really impactful for me because I walked away and I would have this feeling like you're having now of I should have.
Well, let me be a little bit more discerning. Okay, let me go another level here. It's not just that I walked away.
Hold on. I just want to, let me finish this one concept.
Okay.
Concept is, like, I understand remorse and I understand the moment and I understand, like, this experience. And I think that it's part of spiritual growth, not failure. I think it's part of our spiritual experience.
Yes, and that's another layer of, you know, suddenly observing myself throughout my lifetime and realizing how I chose that path, you know, that I went on. I can feel the part of me that chose it out of whatever reason, doesn't matter. And it's weird because it's not what I envisioned myself to be. It's not the way, you know, it's pretty low life. Not low life in a... I'm talking on spiritual levels, you know. I didn't reach the heights that I wanted to in terms of how I related to some other people and expressed honesty and all kinds of stuff. So it's weird to have to accept the truth of my past choices and who I was, and now I'm at this juncture returning to who I want to be, and I'm having just this warble around how to integrate what was. And, yeah, it's just something about it is really confusing, and I have a sense I'm forgetting to check in with my IGS about something, but I can't see where it is. And the other thing I just wanted to add was it's not only that I didn't show up where there were certain needs because I didn't know how to answer them, but I actually interfered with somebody else showing up who could have provided those needs. And so, you know, that was another need.
Well, that closes you. That closes you.
Really? Wait, let me say that again.
Check
I
in
know
for a
there's
second.
Some place I'm not checking
my
IGS.
No. I want to, like, interfere with other
thank
people
you.
Who would show up for those needs.
No, thank you.
Check that.
Wait, when
check
I,
that.
Okay.
Check and see if you're close.
Yeah, I am. You're right. You're right, I am.
Yeah, so that's bullshit. So we're going to go with
okay,
what's
that's
truth.
That's an important. Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah,
maybe
you didn't interfere.
Missing piece
you didn't
for me.
Interfere.
Right.
All right, girlfriend, I'm going to do the best I can with everything you've given me. So what I'm going to ask for is I'm going to just drop in right now.
Okay, thank
and
you.
Listen deeply for the response, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what's coming up is the same thing that was coming up earlier. I'm just going to have to give you what I'm giving you, all right?
Mm-hmm.
This is your drama queen self. There is a, this is just going to give you what I got. I love you.
Go for it. I know you do.
You have this persona. And you're also the most amazing, giving, extraordinary person in the world. That's me doing my own thing. You have this place in which you feel that everything that is happening in your life, and it comes from your ego, is this, explain it, archetypical, like structural, what I'm feeling is creating a massive new awareness in the world.
You're saying that my ego is saying that?
Yeah.
Wow, I have to think about that. That's so, I'm so out of touch with that.
So here's the deal. Now here's the real deal of what your ego is, what's actually happening. It is so softer than that. It's like this experience that you're having of drama, of archetypical stressors, this whole
archetypical
thing.
Archetypical pressures?
Pressures, stressors.
Okay. Stressors, uh-huh.
Is coming from your family. And you can actually let that go.
Well, I think you must be right, because the desire, the contemplation of letting it go makes me feel so naked that it's unnerving.
Yeah,
naked and
so
vulnerable
we all
and
have
unprotected.
This, but I just want to say for the rest of the people on the call, we all have this big, giant yoke, whether it be financial or carrying on the family or success or whatever. We have this yoke, and we can like actually physically picture it and lift it off of us and over and figure out where we are in the middle. And for you in particular, the yoke is disaster.
Yeah.
Disaster is occurring. Disaster is happening. Disaster is imminent. And it's a yoke. It actually, you can feel it on your body. And so the thing is that there's a lot to it. And what happens is that you get a lot of information. You're empathic. And you get a lot of information through your body, and you get a lot of information through your dreams. And what's happening is that you have a yoke of issue, like literally dire issue. And I'd love for you to take a second where you are right now and feel it on your shoulders.
I can totally feel it. As a matter of fact, it doesn't really feel like shoulders. It feels like, you know, people. You know, it feels like
people.
Like,
yeah.
People. Hands are on my shoulders.
And so put your hands down to your hips.
Okay.
And lift them up to your sides and feel that yoke right at your shoulders.
Okay.
And I want you to, with intention, I'm going to get rid of all this to see who I am without it. And I want to see you lift it up and throw it. And don't worry, they're not going to land nowhere. They're going to land in their own spot. Lift it off like, okay, so you see how your left shoulder's hurting more than your right?
Yes.
I'm with you, girl. We're lifting this off and we're getting rid of it. So you just push your hands up and see it as like a whole yoke behind your head, over your head. Push it up, push it up, push it up, push it up, and throw it. And then move your neck back and forth. We're going to try a whole new awareness. Holy cow, that feels really great. How does that feel?
It feels spacious.
Yeah,
and
I feel it.
And also, you know, right behind it is another.
What am I going to do without all that other stuff?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to think about this. But this thought of, like I just said, oh, there's another yoke coming. You know, the idea that it just keeps coming every time I release it, it comes.
Stop. Open it. There's another yoke coming. No. Let's push that away. Let's push that away.
Well,
I'm
considering that my IDS, when I made that statement, was closed.
that there's
but
another
there
yoke
isn't
coming.
Another yoke coming.
There isn't another yoke.
No, and I haven't been, you know, I haven't been listening to my IGS when I've been saying that. That's been the dramatic family dynamic. And so when I just said it, I could feel that my IGS was closed. It's actually not true. What a, you know? I don't have to worry about that.
That's very cool. My immediate response was, no, I closed. There was like immediate, like, no, there's no yoke, there's no new yoke coming.
Yeah. So that's a core belief that has been cycling around and around and around in me, and I first time I'm checking it against my IGS, so I'm so grateful.
So here's the thing that I want to say, like, so your extraordinary purpose on the planet and your way of being, there's a lot of heritage that's called up into your experience. But there's a way in which we did today, of slicing off and being like, that is heritage work that I'm doing, and I have a yoke that's been lifted. Like, I don't have to have this dire expression in the way that I'm living my life. Does that make sense to you?
Totally. Yeah.
And that I can just, I don't have, and here's the thing. This yoke thing that we did today of like, we're just going to pull it off, that has nothing to do with me. You can live in a free environment, everyone on this call, like if you're feeling oppressed by something, like name it, push it out, let it go. It isn't something that you have to be with. So no matter what your heritage is or patterns that you've had in this lifetime or whatever, there is a now essence of who we are as people where you can like shed skins on your own because of where we're at. So your intention, I'm going to get rid of that, and you focus on what's new. And so, Nancy, I want to focus on what's new. I want to focus on what's new. Where are you new now?
Right. Well, where I am right now is that I feel very connected to reuniting with some awarenesses that I had when I was very, very young that enrich me and express the way I want to be a human on the planet and
express my human on the planet part. What is that?
There's a certain, you know, there's a way that I view souls, and there's a way that I want to interact and celebrate souls, and there's a way that I see how we are all connected, and part of me is a little lonely that I won't get that reflection. I remember when I was little, there was a point at which it was just too, I couldn't tolerate the loneliness, and so I decided, okay, I'll just join the team. You know, what I see around me, and I'll, you know, I know I'm not really being fulfilled, but I'll walk around and I'll be the kind of human everybody else is, sort of, and I'll try to learn their ways. But the truth is, I have been empty and lonely, and so I want to go home. You know, I want to go home to who I really am, and I feel a big relief. And I can't wait to start meeting new people who can see me in this way and let me see them in this way. It's just me. It's just how I want to express how I unfold from moment to moment.
I love it. That's perfect. Nancy, thank you for being so honest.
Well, thank you for, you know, for meeting me. And I know we go over this all the time, really a very similar dynamic. But, you know, I feel like I'm getting it little by little. And, yeah, I'm a slow study with this issue. And I really get how the pattern of the drama. I'm gonna put a big drama sentence on my wall because I don't think about drama. I think it's time I start looking at drama.
Don't look at drama?
No, I think it's time I start considering drama, you know, and
yes,
listening to
yes.
my IGS about it.
Yes.
But not
yes.
looking too hard, because that's also
yes.
that's also part of the pattern.
I agree. And I agree with you. I think looking at drama would be amazing. And Nancy, you've been one of my biggest teachers in relationship to being a teacher in this work. How smart and aware and clear about the holes in your way of thinking about things has been brilliant, and I want to thank you for that. I just want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
No, I just am so grateful for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to check in with a couple other people and see in this moment. Hold on. Sylvia, hi.
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 I didn't press one, but it's good to hear from you and hear all the conversation that's going on. I'm learning a lot.
Well, I just
want to thank everyone for sharing.
Yeah. I just want to check in with you for a moment. What are some of your takeaways today?
Looking at the, again, working the IGS, noting the closing, because in my own looking, I'm working with it a lot better than I have been. You know, it's going from zero to something, so I'm proud of that. But on the calls, it was like relating it more to how you're addressing the situation. You know, how are you, closed or open? And that's a subtlety that I'm going to have to start, continue to develop, because I will title it anger, irritation, or something like that instead of open or closed, because in using that terminology, now I can move on it. So it's something I'm going to have to put into to practice, and I like it, because once you address it as open or closed, then the answer is in your face.
Yeah.
Instead of,
yes.
oh, I'm irritated, or he pissed me off, and then you just walk away muttering more of the same old garbage without trying to spin yourself out of that.
Did it help you to hear Nancy's explanation of, like, what she's been going through, and, like, did it help?
Yes, because she's relating her history, and then it's like a mirror, right? So thank you, Nancy, for the mirror. So, yeah, that sounds familiar, and I need to do this or take this turn next time. So
right.
the conversation is amazing.
No, the depth is really important. How have you been doing? Have you been using your IGS in a way that allows you to feel more flow?
Yes, because you called me on it, and then I decided I needed to be taking this into account. So I've been on fast ever since. And here's what I have have to add to the idea. So I have this week I've been asking myself, okay, am I open or closed? Okay, well, I don't feel nothing, so I got to move, you know. I may be a little bit impatient. There's an open or close, and I'm not sensing anything, so I go for the best that I know. And I've caught myself doing that, being a little bit impatient about it, wanting the answer now, because I'm a very now type of person.
I understand.
Any solution to that? Yeah, how do you address that?
Well, so the thing there are, honestly, that is the most frustrating thing about the internal guidance system, is not having an answer immediately. Because our mind, not us, like literally, if you actually drop into doing the listening practice, feet, hands, listening, and you feel that for a minute, there is nothing in that state that you need. Like, if you really feel your feet, your hands, and your listening, you just feel good. You just, there's like nothing there. And then if you step out of it and you're like, oh, but what about rent and then groceries and this and that and blah, 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 right? Then it starts. But like that moment of energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The thing is that your internal guidance system resides in that moment, like that moment of your feeling your feet and your hands and your listening. We'll do it together again. It feels perfect. It feels aware. If you really stay there, and that's what, you know, the teachers have been telling us for years, stay in that. And you're like, okay, Zen, I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got to do that.
Right.
But the reality is actually not true. That's not true. The reality is, if you actually, I'm moving my chair out right now, moving my feet and I'm doing my thing with you, move your back, move your energy, and then come back into your feet, your hands, and your listening. Move your body, do it, shake your head, do whatever. What happens is, this is the reality, folks. This is really important. If you really sit with your feet and your hands and you're listening and you're dropped in and you just stay there, I promise, something will bubble up. Now, you may negate it. You may be like, oh, they're telling me to go get a cup of coffee or go to the bathroom or call this person or vacuum the room or like, but really, I swear to God, I promise you, I swear to God, cross my heart, swear to God, live my life on it. If you sit and you wait in the state of listening until the next impulse comes and you allow that impulse, which is divinity, to bring you to the next spot, and then the next spot, and then the next spot. It may be the divinity gets you to get a cup of coffee, and the next is to brush your teeth, and then to leave your house. There'll be an innate, it starts above your pelvis, and it comes up through your center, and there's a thing that you feel like doing. It's divine action. I'm not crazy. I'm telling you the truth.
Doing that, I heard relax. That was the message sent to me loud and clear. But I appreciate what you just said. The coaching that I could use is how do you, I mean, what we just did feels like you're in the slow lane. And you're coming off of, you know, we're riding in the fast lane at 75 miles an hour, sometimes 80. We're over the speed limit. And how do you pull off?
So what you said was, it sounds like, which means you are not experiencing what I said. Sounds like. So you go back to feeling your feet, on the floor,
mm-hmm.
feeling the palms of your hands, listening to the room around you, and waiting for that impulse. And I know it sounds mundane and stupid and idiot and like it's not going to work. And what I want to say is the thoughts that come in are equally as create a business plan for this and structure this. And do, I mean, the intention that comes into your mind is just as flowing and amazing. I'm serious. Like, you think that sitting in the position that I'm telling you to, that you're going to, like, be a dumbed-down human being. And I'm telling you, I've created multi-million dollar businesses. Yeah. Stepping in, stopping, and seeing what needs to happen next.
Yeah.
It doesn't, our multi-million dollar businesses actually don't come from someone whipping us and saying, create this. We have this impulse within our being that puts us at a desk and has us type up the plan. Or has us hire someone who puts up the plan and we tell them what the plan is. Regardless, I'm telling you the oomph that you're looking for is that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sit here all day long and be like, no, it's not that easy. No. It starts where I'm telling you it starts. Everything that you've ever created, positive or negative, you can think about all the negative shit you've ever thought and ever created, every conversation, everything started with an impulse in your belly button moving out. So if we're going to be real, the reality is everything starts. And whether you control the start point and whether you control the moment and the intention that the moment is moving into, and you ain't going to be able to do this, but you'll be able to witness this from now on, you're going to be able to witness it, I'm trying to like not use any cuss words. All the stuff, right? Like I'm such a cusser, so I'm trying not to cuss, but like all the shit that you create in your world
mm-hmm.
comes from a place inside of your being. And that place inside of your being comes from how you're thinking about things. And how you're thinking about things has your energy move forward into the world. And that energy that moves into the world gets the reaction you get from everything. And as much as I'd like to give you anything different, you create your reality. It's that simple. And I'd love to just say, if you're an asshole, you're going to get an asshole. But that's not it. Asshole mm-hmm. is just the veneer. The veneer of your life.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is the core experience of I can't do it. It isn't working. I suck. No one loves me. I'm unattractive. Mm-hmm. I'm not pretty. Mm-hmm. I'm not this. I'm not that. The core, like, what you wake up with in the morning, and just so you know, I wake up every morning the same as you.
I guess what I'm asking
all
is
all kinds of failures that hit.
I wonder. Yeah, that's what I want to find out. How do you transition in the middle of a storm to the more meditative, feel your hands and feet? That's what my issue
you
is.
You don't transition to meditation. Fuck that. That's ridiculous.
Even the quiet moment to get in touch with the IGF is fairly relaxing and still, and you just, you know, you're in the middle of a firestorm. So how do you make that transition? You say, excuse me, or I got to go, or, you know. So you can have a moment to yourself. How do you do that?
You know, I think that's a really good question. And I think the biggest thing that I think the biggest thing is that over a period of time, you begin to realize that, like, when you use the tool, I'm closed, that means what I'm thinking isn't true. I'm the teacher, and I'm in it. I'm in it. I'm actually in it. I'm raising money for my company, and I'm in it. And it's a big deal for me to, like, ask for help. And my anxiety, my closing over nobody's going to support me, nobody's going to be there, that closes me.
Mm.
Which means people are going to love to support me, which means there are people who want to support me. There are people who want this work in the world. And so what happens is like this closing sensation that you have in your body, for me personally, is no, I'm closed. That means they are going to support me. They are going to fund me. They are going to be there for me. And I just have to say, I've been doing this for 23 years, and it has never not happened. I will be funded. I will have people who care about me. I will have people that take this work into the world. It is a no-go. If I am closed in the way that I have been, and I open when I think they're going to fund me, I'm telling you, they fund me.
Mm-hmm.
This is years and years and years and years of practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a spiritual practice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it works, and it has never not worked. I could not stand here today leading anyone through this had I not gone through 23 years of financial experience and life and, like, relationships and children and getting pregnant and everything else. I just want to let you know I have gone through everything, and it has never let me down.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it will never let you down. It will never let you down. I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And I have been through some crazy ass stuff. And I just want to let you know, it has always been right.
Okay, well, that's where I'm at the practice stage, and how do you say integrating it? So I'm at the beginnings, but I'm happy, and I'm looking forward to more practice.
The biggest thing that I can share with you, and I share this with everyone, if you're feeling anxiety, worry, or fear about your future, it's not true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you're open, if you feel a calm, centered expression in your physical being about the dire aspects that you're thinking about, it's true. This is really important. fear is not true. Anxiety is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Worry is not
mm-hmm.
true. It's a waste of your time.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to cultivate your thoughts to create a new reality that is true.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel mm-hmm. opening, it is true. Go with it. I promise. It's not false faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
mm-hmm.
an optimal reality. It's the truth. Sweetest heart. Hello?
I'm here. And I remember I shared that even with my son, who is very anxious. And I didn't mention that, but I caught that. Okay, I'm late, I'm running late. And so then here comes the big knot when you're all, you know, anxious, you know, traffic is terrible, you've got to get. And then I caught myself. I said, there's a lie here. This is not true. Everything will be okay, and it was, you know, based on what I'm learning
over
here.
Again. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Over and over yes. again.
And I shared that with my son, who I saw the same level of anxiety for being late for an appointment, and I shared what I was learning, and he said everything was okay. So I have a lifetime of things to undo. But why not undo them?
And do them with me, girl.
There you go.
Do them with me, girl. I love you.
And I am okay with that. Yeah, I love you. I love your dedication to the spirit and the improve and helping us improve ourselves. I mean, we're here in this lifetime to be better, to learn more. And I think through you, learning a lot more about myself and who I truly am.
Thank you. So appreciative. I love my students, and I love you. So I don't see anyone else. Giggle, Bugle. I don't see anybody else. I'm going to just drop into Sean. Hey, Sean.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me? You can hear me.
I can.
Great. This is a very juicy call.
It's really friggin' rich. I just have to say, it's and energetically. Woo!
Yeah.
Entertaining.
Oh, I hope we don't lose you. Hello?
Oh, I'm
oh,
still
there you
here.
Are. There you are.
Yeah.
There you are.
Yeah. I think I there was somebody else that was on. I'm not sure.
So I would love your insights.
No, I just thought it was interesting with the last caller. You know, especially with the silence you were speaking of, like when you drop in, and she was, I think she was discussing, what do you do when you're in the moment? You know, you're in a storm and you just don't know what to do. You know, and you're following your IGS, but you know, I had to have a chuckle because that happens to me a lot, and you kind of explode and you're not knowing what to do. But I've learned, though, when I'm in that and I know that I'm very closed, so I obviously know in that instant I'm thinking the wrong thoughts. And if I can't collect myself, I usually excuse myself and I will go away for a minute or two, and I think about it, and I just follow the openings. I just open, and what is the next thought, or I will do what Zen says. It's so instantaneous. All you do is you say, you know, feet, hands, and listen. And it's so quick. And then you just follow that opening, that in that quiet. And the right thing happens. You just spontaneously do the right thing. But what's important is that you will, it's a forever change. There's something fundamental that happens when you do that this opening. And then it just begets more openings and more openings and more openings. And suddenly you're not feeling bad anymore, you know, and you're having a really good conversation with somebody after that.
Sylvia?
Okay.
Yeah, that was meaningful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I think the biggest thing is like there's an opening that begets opening, that begets opening, that begets opening.
Yeah. It does.
And that's powerful. That's what's powerful.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. I am going to end the call, even though, I mean, it's amazing. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you.
You are currently the only person.